And good morning. Welcome to another program. This is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. Thank you for the intro. And, you know, there are some people in the world, they make their living by performing in athletic events. And some of it is just so, it's so intriguing to watch some of these races because it's like a legitimate battle. They've got a strategy. There's a psychological factor involved. And if you ever watch these races, either whether it, and some of the women's races are even better than the men's races, but it's just so fascinating. But don't you think that an athlete, they have done everything within their power to whether you want to call it scientific training, the use of diet, probably having the proper attitude, they're literally looking for any advantage they can get. Well, you know what I came across? I think I read this years ago to you that some of the high-end performance athletes, it's just merely just a fraction of a percentage point that means the difference between coming in first place versus last place. It's not like a person has to be 10% better. Oh, no. Just a fraction of a percentage. I do find it most fascinating and interesting. What is the potential of a human being to perform at a certain level? Well, there's a lot of endurance athletes that have learned about cacao, in which you and I know cacao, like if you went to the grocery store or a store, and they had a bar of chocolate and it said it contains 80% cacao. Well, that would be chocolate, right? So if you had a dark chocolate bar, but these athletes are learning, this is really a most effective performance enhancer. And I realize that my target audience this morning is not like you're a marathon runner, or you're going to enter a 5K today, or you're going to run the 800 meters, or the 400 meter hurdles. That would be a very hard race, by the way. Okay, well, they had this study in Japan, and they wanted to find out if all these athletes are using chocolate or cacao, how does the stuff actually work? And so what they found out was, just like some people may consume beet powder or beet juice or eat beets because it increases nitric oxide production, and that in turn opens up the arteries where you can actually get more oxygen to where it needs to go. You know what happens when you actually have oxygen in your body and you have plenty of it? You feel alive. There's not many conditions that really benefit from low levels of oxygen. Okay. All right. Here's a study right here. If you give people a couple of grams of what's called phenol-rich cacao every day, guess what happens? They've shown in studies that your blood pressure goes down. Now, I don't know that that's my issue that I deal with, but there's a lot of people that are listening. They're taking all sorts of blood pressure medications, and they're actually very young people. Well, I don't know if you've considered this or not, but do you ever ask yourself the question, why am I so young, but I'm taking 3 blood pressure medications? What's up with that? I think that's a good question to ask your physician. Why do I need these medications? What's not working right? Is my body out of balance? What do we do to get myself back to good shape where I don't even need the blood pressure medications? That's probably what most physicians say to their patients. We're only going to use the blood pressure medication for a short period of time, and until we get you in good working order again, or we correct the root cause of the problem, then you won't need any more. Now, you probably think that I'm being sarcastic and making it up, but that's what my pharmacy professor taught me in school. He said the whole purpose of a blood pressure medication is to use it in the short term until you can get a person back to good. Okay? So the first part of the study is they made the observation or the direct correlation that when people consume polyphenol-rich cacao, I think there's flavonoids in there, that their blood pressure goes down. Okay? Well, that's interesting. So the phenols in cacao, if you want to say dark chocolate, that's fine too, What they do is they boost the synthesis of a compound called nitric oxide in the blood vessels. And as a result, your blood vessels become wider and more supple. So think about that for a moment. If you had your choice of having very tiny, narrowed blood vessels where only a small amount of blood can travel through, which carries a small amount of oxygen and just very little nutrition. And when you have very small vessels, what happens is you just don't carry the waste away. That means you don't detoxify real well. Would you rather have that? Or would you rather have more oxygen, more nutrients, more removal of waste or toxins? Well, I know the answer to that. That's a rhetorical question. You do too. We want to express the optimum efficiency or the optimum performance of the body. Sometimes I think about this in religious or worship terms. What if a person comes to you and says, "Oh, I've got a great relationship with God. I attended Easter service a year ago. And when Easter comes back, that means I'm good." Well, there's a huge difference between doing the bare minimum and then looking for the opposite of that would be looking for the maximum opportunities, which means you might be there every time the door opens because you really want to worship God and you want to learn and grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. Anyway, so back to the chocolate. Did you see how I got sidetracked there? Of course you did. Researchers at the Shibarura, that I butchered that. Let me try one more time. Shibarura Institute of Technology. I need Kathy to help me out with that one. In Japan, they attempted to work out exactly how these phenols in cacao or the chocolate do all this. How do they increase the oxygen in a person's body? How do they open up the arteries where you have better blood flow? How do you make the arteries more soft and flexible and supple? And by the way, when your arteries are supple and flexible and pliable, you don't have high blood pressure. But when they become hard and narrowed and stiff, you have high blood pressure. So they tried doing experiments on rats. Okay, here's what they did. The Japanese gave rats 10 milligrams of cacao-derived, I think the compound's called flavin-3-ols per kilogram in water with no active ingredients. Anyway, I'm not sure what the last sentence really means. But what in our terms, they just basically put some chocolate in the drinking water. So when the rats were thirsty, they would lap it up, and in the water, guess what they found? It was chocolate water. Okay. The Japanese researchers, they identified, in their opinion, that the most important flavonoid compounds in the extract were catechins and another one called epicatechin. You ever heard of that before? And so they demonstrated that if this is what they gave to rats to get such good results, the human equivalent of this dose is about 100 to 150 milligrams. Now, I don't have a dark chocolate bar in front of me that says it contains 70% cacao or 87% cacao, but I'd like to flip that around or look it up and study it to see if it has somewhere between 100 to 150 milligrams of these phenols called catechin and epicatechin. I should have looked that up, but I didn't think of it until right now. Okay. You know what a red blood cell is, don't you? It is such, to me, it's maybe one of the most sophisticated cells in all the human body. It's just amazing what a red blood cell can do. Well, guess what happened? Well, after they gave these rats a little bit of chocolate in their drinking water, the number of red blood cells circulating in the capillaries started to increase. Well, how does that happen? Well, if the arteries start to widen or dilate and open up, you know, you can probably fit more red blood cells in there. Is that a good thing? Yes. Would this study have gone well if the number of red blood cells decreased and blood flow went down? No, it'd be a failure. If you want to do that, smoke a cigarette. I'm just joking. I don't mean I'm requesting or suggesting that you smoke a cigarette to improve circulation. You have to remember that the latest studies demonstrate that if you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day for 20 years, you take right at almost 5 years off your life. I can't remember if it's 4.99 or 5.01, but that's probably the average amount of lifetime that you have snuffed off of you, or years. So if you smoke, expect 5 years to be taken from you. Actually, you did it to yourself. No one's forcing you against your will. But I will say this, the cigarette manufacturers, they know exactly how to make these things addictive, don't they? I'm not so sure that sugar is not the most addictive chemical on earth. Anyway, so even after they gave these rats a little bit of chocolate water, they noticed that their capillaries, the blood cells, the red blood cells began to increase in number and the blood flow improved. And it did so even after an hour of measurement. It was still going up. Blood flow was still increasing. Now, you tell me, what happens to you or what happens to me if we actually get more blood flow, we get better blood flow? Well, you feel alive, don't you? I think one of the aspects of healing, no matter where a person is in their health, they want to feel alive. And they're just about willing to do anything to do that for the most part. A lot of times people go about this the wrong way. You know what I mean? Okay. I have a chart in front of me. There's no way you can read it. But what they're doing is they're trying to measure what's called red blood cell velocity it may say millisecond, or maybe it's micro millisecond. Anyway, this is just a unit of measurement. They're trying to determine how fast the red blood cells actually flow through the arteries. From the control group, that means just plain water, and then the group of rats that had a little bit of chocolate water in there. And even though you can't see the chart, I mean, this is huge. They showed that between 10 and 20 minutes, the blood flow is almost double. Folks, have you ever heard the scripture in the Bible from the book of Leviticus that says the life is in the blood? Oh my goodness, it is. Now, the life is not in the blood if the blood stops moving. So, as a general rule, the faster that blood flows through your arteries and through your veins, the better things go for you. But maybe I say it this way. The more constricted your arteries, the dirtier your blood, the thicker it is, where it just doesn't move real fast, that's where you got all the disease and that's where you got all the health problems. Now, this next thing is just my analogy. What would you drink water from? Would you just say, you know what? We don't have any water to drink. We're here in Alaska. We need something to sip on. Here's a beaver pond. It looks dirty, but I'm thirsty, so I'm going to drink it. Or would you rather drink rushing, clear water from a mountain stream that's flowing at a high rate of speed? My only point is this. The faster that water moves, the cleaner it is. The faster your blood moves through your arteries, the cleaner it is. I know I'm getting sidetracked now, but you know what I'm thinking of. Have you ever, on a summer day or when it's warm outside, you looked out and you saw this little bitty mini, you know, dirt devil or dust devil. Is that what they're called? Where there's a vortex and it's spinning so rapidly and picking up dust and like a little mini tornado. Well, in a roundabout way, blood doesn't just move straight through your arteries. It spins like a vortex. It's so fascinating to read about how blood flows through the body, but it has a spin or a twist to it. Kind of like if you're letting water go down a drain, you see how it forms like a little whirlpool and it has a circular motion. Okay, that's enough of that right there. But when they gave the rats the chocolate, it almost doubled the speed of the blood. So you're not going to hear it from me that chocolate's bad. Now, yes, I'm not recommending that you get Hershey's chocolate syrup and pour it all over whatever you're eating or a glass of chocolate milk. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the stuff that has more cacao. That's the active ingredients that when you consume it. Just think of the term cacao. C-A-C-A-O, I think. C-A-C-A-O, that's the correct spelling. But it contains these phenols. Now, they did another one. And what they did was they did this over 60 minutes. And the blood flow just keeps going up and up and up over 60 minutes. By 10 minutes, it's like almost tripled. But they have this delta relationship of blood flow, which is a different measurement. But it just keeps going up and up. If they had watched this probably for 2 to 3 hours, it would have continued to improve. I mean, that's a very powerful activity. One of the ways they know this works is they said the cacao phenols, they activate the enzyme that separates nitric oxide from the amino acid called L-arginine. I know that there's people that are listening that know what I'm talking about. They've heard of L-arginine to help improve nitric oxide levels. Well, why would you want to do that? Well, it's the same thing that I'm talking about right here. Something that improves blood flow. You remember how I started off just a while ago talking about how some studies demonstrate very, very clearly and simply that when you have enough cacao, you have much greater blood flow and your blood pressure, thus the blood pressure goes down. I mean, you have to ask yourself a question. Why is it that my body is not in good enough working order to keep my blood pressure in check? I think that's worth pursuing all the different factors, more than what I can mention today. But they showed that this cacao, it helps your body take L-arginine and convert it into nitric oxide. And it even observes so 60 minutes later. That's an hour. Okay, what's the next thing here? Oh, yes, I meant to bring this one up right here. They did demonstrate that when they gave rats, same is true for human beings, you give them a little bit of cacao, and all of a sudden the heart rate and the blood pressure does go up just for a little season, but afterwards it comes down. And I know that may sound unusual because you're saying, well, hey, are you going to play it both ways and say it raises the blood pressure? Yes, just for a little bit. But the net effect is, after that effect wears off, then you have much better blood flow. So, anyway. Okay, let me see right here. This is more for athletes. It says the performance-enhancing effects of cacao is probably optimal if athletes ingest it 1 to 2 hours before they have a heavy training session or a competition. So if you've got a race at 8:30 this morning, now is the time to take it. Wouldn't that be fun if you perform better? Now, why are we doing all this? Number one, or for a simple reason, and you tell me, does this sound good to you? If you have extra supple blood vessels that are capable of transporting more oxygen and more nutrients to your muscles or to your heart and brain, and they also remove extra waste products, do you see that as something that removes a burden from your heart if your blood pressure goes down? Well, the answer is yes. Okay, article number one. Where's the other one that I came across? This one I thought was good, too. Okay, this is really the same topic, but it's from a much different perspective, and here it is right here. They have an animal study that I came across. You know what time I came across this? At 5:07 this morning, because I'm looking at my, when I copied it off, because I wanted to scribble notes on it. But here's an animal study where they show epicatechin, which comes from coca, chocolate, or cacao, excuse me. It extends life expectancy. So when I read that, I said, okay, this is interesting. And so what they're doing is... I find it so fascinating how they come up with some of these studies right here. But here's the main prize of the study. They said, okay, what happens when we give fat, overweight, diabetic mice chocolate? What happens to them? Well, bingo, they live longer. They don't live shorter. According to nutritionists at Virginia Tech, epicatechin, which is what's found in chocolate, activates an enzyme, AMPK. I'm not going to go into all that. It's just too technical. Okay. Now, just so you have a background, you know what diabetes is, don't you? I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the number of diabetics in the world is going up. It's not going down. And you might say, well, is that because there's more people? Well, maybe that's a factor. But my point is, the number of diabetics is not decreasing every year. It's increasing. If I asked you, is cancer increasing or decreasing, what would you say? Well, it's increasing. What if I asked you the question, are we getting a handle on this Alzheimer's dementia thing? Are physicians doing a better job? Do we have a better way of managing it? Is it going away? Is it disappearing because we figured it out? No, it's increasing. I mean, it's almost terrifying. Maybe I shouldn't use the word terrifying, but it's pretty doggone scary when you start thinking about what is this country going to be like in 10 years and the health of Americans. By the way, the last time I checked, somebody's got to be able to function well enough to work so they can pay taxes so we can keep the wheels going. Okay, here's one stat for you. I know you know this, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. I think I've told you this before. Okay, point number one. If you've got diabetes, then you normally are going to live 8 years less than somebody that doesn't have diabetes. So if you take a person that lives to be 96 without diabetes, and you look at an individual that dies at 88 and they have diabetes, that's probably not a good example. And so what they're finding out that physical exercise reduces a number of the effects of diabetes. And all they're saying is we have figured out, because we're smart, that if you exercise, you can actually help diabetes go away. Well, that's what they're thinking they're finding with this flavonoid compound or this phenol called epicatechin that's found in chocolate, and they give to diabetics. So nutritionists at Virginia Tech, I've driven by that university many times. Is that like in Blackburn? They tried to answer this question in an animal study. And what they did was the researchers added cacao or epicatechin to the drinking water of overweight diabetic mice for 15 weeks. The concentration was 0.25%, which means it was probably just the mildest of chocolate water, but it had enough of this cacao in it to where they could say, okay, we're actually getting this into them. Let's see what happens here. I know that there's more ingredients in chocolate than just epicatechin, but that's what they were trying to measure. And they showed that after 15 weeks in the control group, after 6 weeks beyond that, all the diabetic mice started to die. But the diabetic mice that were given epicatechin, which is chocolate, they lived twice as long as the healthy mice. I mean, you literally cannot make this stuff up. What they're looking at is they're showing how energy production greatly improved. I got a chart right here, and it says the number of mice remaining alive against age and weeks. And so they have the control group, and then they have the group that has diabetes with the chocolate, and they live a whole lot longer. If you would like to call the radio station, there's a phone line officially open, but the number here is 903-589-8507. Somebody was just trying to call the other one. Anyway, I know this stuff is so technical, but the point I'm trying to get to is God has given us so many good things to help us. He knows what's best for us. Do we trust him? So diabetics have all these problems, and you're trying to find a way, how do we manage this in such a way where they can function better? And so some of these charts, I can't read them all to you. My main point is this. There's a compound that's found in chocolate called epicatechin. It is really, really good for helping improve blood flow and helping diabetics improve their health. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Oh, morning, sir. Morning. Hey, I've got an uncle who's in his early 80s. He had a stent put in probably 6 to 8 weeks ago, but this week he's caught COVID and he's pretty far down. And I was just wondering, with the protocols that you've given us in the past, with the Contraplex, ACP, the kind of, I can't say them all. You know me. And the zinc.
I'm like you. I can't say them either.
Yeah. You know, if those would be all right with his,
absolutely.
Fit. And how about, I know for me this last time when the wife got the COVID, I took the wild oregano oil. 2 drops in the morning, 2 drops in the evening. Mm-hmm.
That's fine too.
And that'll be fine. It won't affect his stent.
No, nope, not at that level.
Will it help him while he's in the midst of the COVID flu, whatever the variant is?
Last week on the radio, I covered the topic of a flavonoid compound called quercetin.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, that was what they used when people already had COVID, and okay. It showed that it had a tremendous effect to help prevent the virus from continual replication and growth. And so it helped them get over it much faster. So you've got quercetin. Now, the thing of it is, I don't know that quercetin, I'd have to look it up, but I'm not aware of any serious interactions that quercetin might have with the blood thinner called Plavix that they have him on right now, or whichever one they have him on.
Yes, sir.
They don't put a stent in and not give him a blood thinner. I know that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I mean, is he taking other drugs besides a blood thinner?
I doubt it. I don't know that for a fact. I just know that he's a caretaker for his wife who's had a stroke.
He takes care of his heart.
He takes care of his ranch that has cattle. He's in West Texas, west of San Antonio, up in the hill country there.
But it's up to him to take care of his wife.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Boy.
That's what I'm trying to see if I can help him take.
Well, what a,
be able to hang around long enough to be able to take care of her.
Did you say he's your his favorite nephew?
I don't know that for a fact.
Oh, well, I just assumed you were. I mean, so quercetin is something that he could take right now every day.
Yeah. I got him in trouble as a kid. He took me to the movies, and him being an older teenager, he was smoking a few cigarettes. And you know, as a kid, you just say things without thinking and got him in trouble. Never went to the
You mean you mentioned that story about him smoking cigarettes when you got back home?
Well, you know, when you're
like, hey,
you're a young kid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like Mom, I thought it was so. So your mom says, how was the movie? Well, I really couldn't see. There was too much smoke in my eyes. Well, what do you mean there was smoke in
your eyes? Hey, well, I do appreciate the time.
You're welcome.
On the quercetin, about how much to.
Well, I think it was 500 milligrams, probably 3 times a day.
3 times a day. Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
Thank you for it. You bet. Bye-bye, sir.
All right. Have a great day, buddy. Bye. Son, why is your T-shirt stained yellow? Mom, I really don't know what the movie was about. There was like a thick fog of smoke. Haven't you ever driven down the road before and you've had like a diesel pickup where they've removed the filter and they step on the gas? Oh, my goodness. It's horrible. You can't even see the smoke is so thick. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you today?
Man, if things was going any better, I couldn't stand it.
Now, that's the spirit. What a great attitude. Keep it up.
Hey, look, I'm calling on behalf of my sister. I have enough ailments of my own. But I'm old, and she's a little older than I am. She's got the tremors in her hands, and I was wondering, I'm on a much better diet rather than medicinal, so is she. We take vitamins and things. And I was wondering if there's anything out there that could control that. I use bergamot oil for arthritic pain in my left hand, so is there anything topical that could be used to curtail the tremor she has in her hands.
Now, I want to make sure I heard what you said. Did you say you're taking bergamot to help your tremors, or are you just using it for arthritis?
I'm just using it for short pain I get in my left hand.
All right.
Because I'm a, you know?
Well, I mean, tremors are really a neurological issue, so I want to give you like a little bit different perspective. I know I'm not directly answering your question, but there's a common spice or herb, if you want to call it curcumin, curcuminoids, turmeric. That's one thing that's worthy of a consideration to see if it helps tamp down some of that neurological inflammation. The next thing that I would think of would be saffron. Sometimes that's called the world's most expensive spice. Why don't you try smuggling that from Portugal to the United States? No, I'm just joking. It's just a spice. So, like, they use it in all sorts of cooking. When you were a boy, didn't they sell saffron rice at the grocery store?
Well, back in the 60s and 70s, saffron was a big rock and roll sound. So that, yes, I'm familiar with it a little bit. Yes, sir.
You mean I'm just wild about saffron?
There we go.
I've heard that song before. So saffron is very unique. Now, I am not trying to tell you I fully understand how it works, but let me say this right here. It's so good at removing inflammation from the brain cells or the neurons or the nerve linings. So that doesn't mean I understand how it works.
Right, but I tend
to think that saffron is very, very safe. But see, if she could take... Usually they come in 88.5 milligram capsules of saffron. It's probably going to take somewhere between 4 and 6 a day, I would guess, for about a month and a half to see if the tremors begin to reduce and they begin to go away.
Yes, sir.
And then one last thing, if I can just add on. I think that cod liver oil has always been one of the greatest superfoods of all time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to refer to a study that I read about 2 weeks ago. They have a simple blood test now where you can just, you know, prick the side of your finger with a small lancet or a needle. You put a drop of blood on this cardboard, you know, reagent slide, put it in a little bitty envelope, mail it to the laboratory. And what they do is they do an analysis to find out what is the percentage of omega-3 fatty acids in this person's red blood cells?
Right.
And they know when that number starts hitting about 9 to 9.5% omega-3 fatty acids. And I know I'm redundant, but let me say it a different way. When you have about 9% of fish oil in your blood cells, you live on average about 5 years longer. And maybe the way that I really want to interpret that is every system in your body stays in better repair. It doesn't break down. You don't have the horrible inflammation. So cod liver oil, in my mind, is a superfood. And that is so huge for the brain needing that. Now, if I went to the protein department or amino acids, I kind of use those words interchangeably. There is one particular amino acid that sometimes is very, very helpful for tremors. It's called taurine.
Yes, sir.
That's spelled T-A-U-R-I-N-E. You probably knew that already. But I'd say probably about 3 milligrams a day of taurine might give her some benefit. And then, I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this because I know you said it was your sister, but... They've shown that shadow boxing and shadow boxing classes. I'm not talking about her getting into the ring with Mike Tyson to go 5 rounds. That's not what I'm saying. But going through the motion of training with boxing and punching exercises, that's actually been shown to help tremors.
I'll be doggone. The physical side. Okay. Well, I know just real quick, I know you're busy, got other people on in here. I started off with having a defibrillator stuck in me. And I thought I'd do better, and I wound up stuck in my house selling my truck and my motorcycle. So, to me, it didn't go well.
I see what you mean.
It was deadly. And my sister brought this lady to my house that was into alternative, not medicines, but vitamins. And I got on red yeast rice and CoQ10, and I went back in a month, and it had dropped below what was even necessary. But I didn't tell them because they wanted to argue too much about other things. But anyway, that's where I am. So
yeah.
I appreciate you and your...
And thanks for sharing all that.
On and everything, because when I was... I wound up just kind of decimated for a while, and I look forward every week to your transmission and your advice and everything. So,
oh, you're so kind. Well, where are you calling from, by the way?
I live in Tyler.
Tyler, okay. So you'd actually looking forward to, when you were stuck in the house, looking forward to hearing the program once a week?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you.
They wanted to go into my spine and hollow out my spinal column. I'm going, no, I've broken both legs.
My goodness.
My sciatic nerve that hurts. It's not my spine. And I couldn't get them off that, and now I just wasn't going to be opened up. But no thing. But I got rid of it with a regular use of ice compact and a heating pad. And I thought, my goodness, I almost messed up my whole life, you know?
Well, what an amazing story. Can I make just one simple comment?
Sure.
I think it was genius that you stuck with the ice packs, because what happens when you put ice, you saturate the tissue with more oxygen. Now, that's what a man needs, more oxygen.
Yeah.
Way to go, dude. That's great.
Well, you know, I'm a lot more skeptical of what I was, so I thank you for your advice and everything, and carry on, keep up the good work, so I appreciate you.
Thank you kindly. I wish you the very best, and I'm rooting for you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. Is there anything wrong with being skeptical? I don't think there is. I mean, there has to come a point where you try multiple either pharmaceutical remedies, surgical procedures, and you just have to come to the reality that if they're not working, why would you not be skeptical? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, I'm not smart enough to figure out what percentage of cacao we should have when we buy those bars of dark chocolate, and then how much should we take to get the benefits you were talking about earlier?
If it says 80% cacao or higher, you're good.
Okay.
I don't even think I would argue if you found a chocolate bar that said 78.9% or 77. I just kind of made that up. But if you get to that range, usually you're in good shape. But the higher the number, the better. So if you want to try one that's 91%, I think that's a good choice. And I say two squares a day.
Two squares a day.
You know, where you might snap off two squares. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. That's what I needed to know.
Oh, my goodness. I successfully tricked you into eating 91% cacao. This is going great.
Well, I've tried it before, and then I just, you know, think, well, I just wonder if I'm taking enough, I'm doing the right thing. And then a lot of times I'll just quit buying it because I don't really know if it's doing me any good. But I think after today and things you've said in the past, I will get back on it.
Well, that sounds great.
Thank you very much.
You're sure welcome. I appreciate you very much.
Have a blessed day.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, that's one point that I know she's being very, very reasonable. She's questioning, well, is this stuff even doing me any good? Well, a lot of these natural remedies like cacao or chocolate, you know, I'm not trying to overpromise anything to you, but at some point you've got to have some faith that you're doing enough of the right things to help put yourself in the best possible situation for healing and repair. Another article that I was reading this morning was talking about people that were aging very, very gracefully, and when the doctors tried to measure these elderly people for signs of inflammation, they couldn't find any because they were in great working order. There was no inflammation. I thought to myself, you see there, that is proof that it is possible. Yes, I know the details in that it's harder as you age to keep your body in good working order, but it is possible. And yeah, they do find some people that can function on a high level. Now, if you're very young, say 59, and you're becoming very limited, like you can't bend down to the ground, or you have a hard time maintaining your balance, or you fall into walls, well, isn't that like a wake-up call? You might say to yourself, you know, I used to be pretty athletic. And if you think back, you might go, well, I haven't done anything but sit on the couch for the last 20 years. You do have what's called muscle memory, and if you do go back in the training, your body will remember how to function right. But that's the way it is. I think that's part of self-control, is you've got to and believe me, every human being has failed, myself included. No one's perfect all the time. How would you like it if that was a standard that you had to be held to, is you had to be perfect at every turn, and if you messed up, they'd just throw you away? Well, no, nobody can live up to perfection. Aren't you glad that God shows mercy and grace, and he's so forgiving if we just ask for it? But I think it's been shown that's really hard for people to do. I mean, they give lip service to it, but it's hard to repent, which means you got to let go of the things that are bad. You got to give it up. you got to want to not do it anymore. That would probably be a little bit closer to repentance. Or if you had godly sorrow mixed in with it. It's hard for people to change. I mean, if I just look at the statistics on the leading causes of death, let's just say heart disease is one example. If I could come up with article after article after article about what could improve the condition of a person's heart, and what if I came up with an article saying people that walk for exactly 1 hour a day, I'm just going to say 8,000 steps to kind of give a number, that drastically improves the health of their heart and their blood flow and circulation. Well, you know as well as I do, very, very few people. What are the numbers right now? I'm thinking it's closer to 3 to 5% of the population is willing to do that. That means 95% is not willing to do that. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that smoking cigarettes takes about 5 years off a person's life, and being a diabetic takes about 8 years off your life. That doesn't mean that if you smoke and you have diabetes, that takes exactly 13 years off your life. I haven't read that study, but something like that. So what do you do when you have all these things that are destroying your health? I guess one of the questions that a person has to ask themselves is, do they value the future? Now, I know that God's only given us today, and you got to make the best of it. But attitude is so important. If you value doing all the things and participating in all the different activities that God has in store for you because he loves you and cares about you, doesn't that change what you do to take care of yourself? A man was telling me the other day that he realizes now that he's just been so addicted to sugar. And I think one of his solutions was to go more of a carnivore-style diet to try to break that addiction. Well, he was explaining, he said, this is actually the lightest that I've ever been. And he's in his, I think he said middle 60s. And by the way, that is super old. That was a joke. I did not mean that. What do you care if you're 65 or you're 70, but you can still do everything that God has in store for you? You can teach Sunday school. You could do a ladies Bible study. You have the strength to pray for people. You can help those that are downtrodden. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know of that are having a down moment? Tons of them. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. You have to call the other number, not the old number. Sorry about that. 903-589-8507. I had a young lady telling me her story, and she was saying when she was 4 and 5 years old, she was really active, and I thought to myself, well, who isn't? What child isn't at that age? Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for your phone call. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you. I listened to you a couple weeks back.
You'll have to turn your radio off. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
And I was, you were talking about chondroitin sulfate. And I was just wondering which one you take, and gosh, there's so many different ones out there. I didn't know what to do.
I take one with glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate.
Okay.
And so that research on that product is like, or that substance is so amazing. I mean, who out there is going to believe that if I take this, I have the least risk for developing dementia or Alzheimer's? That's like a home run. The studies on chondroitin sulfate show when you take that regularly, you have the least problem with your heart. They're showing now that people that have heart attacks, if they just take chondroitin, they heal faster than anybody else. There may be something to it. But what do we historically think about when it comes to chondroitin sulfate? Think about joint health, right?
Right, yes.
And that's probably my next point. What usually goes first in a human body? Well, it's the joints. They usually wear out before anything else.
Right, yes. My knee's been bothering me, and I was thinking maybe that would help me with my knee.
Well, it will. It usually, most studies demonstrate, it takes a few months for it to build up to sufficient concentration so it can do what you want, which is to have better lubrication of your knees. Now, I know what I'm going to say is going to be probably like a little bit weird, but let me have a go at this. Okay. If your knees hurt, you have two options. You can say, I'm not going to do anything at all that makes them hurt, or B, I'm going to actually, through faith or by faith or with faith, I'm going to start doing very hard knee mobility exercises to strengthen my knees. Which one's going to work the best?
Oh, I would think muscle strength around the knees would help.
Yeah, you're right. I remember years ago there was a study on people that had bone on bone, real severe arthritis, the cartilage just worn down to nothingness, and they said, okay, we're going to try sedentary versus making these people jog. And I thought, isn't that kind of cruel, making a human being jog, you know, on the dirt or a football field when they have horrible knees? But the ones that jog did about a million times better.
Oh, wow.
You've heard of the principle of you don't use it, you lose it, right?
Oh, I have heard that principle, yes.
Maybe once or twice. But so yeah. if your knees hurt, your knees are really screaming that we need to improve the strength and the functionality of them. So one thing that you might do, and this is going to seem radical, if you went to the website called YouTube, there's a channel called Knees Over Toes Guy, I think it's called. Knees Over Toes Guy. And he goes through all these different mobility exercises so you can regain your strength and your knees are stronger and you can actually start regrowing some cartilage.
Okay. I'm going to look him up first chance.
Unless you want to go ahead and have a double amputation today.
No, I think I'll pass on that.
I think that's a smart choice.
One other question I was going to ask you. You've talked so much about cod liver oil. Is there any particular brand that you like versus all the others?
Yeah, there's several. I used one from Standard Process, but when I look at all the data on how it's been, you know, processed and how they extract it, it is just spectacular. You could even take it and chew it up in a gel cap, and it tastes good because they use lemon oil as one of the preservatives to keep it from oxidizing. But historically, here's what people used to do to test cod liver oil to see if it was good quality or not. So if you went to the health store and you said, hey, I think this is good cod liver oil, let me check it out. So they would take like a piece of styrofoam, you know, like a styrofoam cooler. If you were going to the lake and you just wanted to spend $3 and get a portable one, they would just take and squeeze the cod liver oil from the gel cap onto the styrofoam cooler. And they'd come back in the morning and take a look at it. If it eats a hole in it, that's not good.
Oh, okay.
Or another way of testing it is if you take a gel cap and you put it in your freezer, if by morning time it's completely frozen, like it looks like a block of ice inside of the gel cap, that's no good either.
Okay.
And
I was looking at oil itself, just the bottle of oil.
Oh, yeah, and I was... Maybe I didn't say enough. I usually prefer the kind that comes in a gel cap because it's sealed from oxygen. Okay. So whatever oxygen comes in contact with, it's going to start to oxidize. And cod liver oil is one of those delicate oils that if you take the lid and leave it off, it's going to oxidize. That means it's going to turn rancid. Okay. That's the only reason why I said the gel caps. I just didn't explain it to you. Sorry.
Okay.
So another one that may be good is Nordic Naturals if you want a liquid one. But put it to the test.
Okay.
If a person
do what's best, I'll do the gel cap.
Oh yeah. That's what I think is going to give you really great confidence. The other one is this. And I know this is just a general blanket statement, but if somebody takes cod liver oil and they say yuck, all I'm doing is burping and belching this horrific fish oil, that's because it's rotten.
Okay.
Not good.
Yeah, but I've had bad experience with some before, so that's why I quit.
Yeah, exactly. So most likely, if you had a bad experience, you got a hold of a rotten batch.
Maybe just eat raw, not raw fish, but just eat more fish.
Yeah, eat more fish is a good idea. That's a brilliant idea.
Okay.
Now, are you on the coast of Alaska right now where you could just go catch some fresh halibut?
No, I wish I was.
I hope. Do you have a Zebco fishing pole? I think it could probably handle a 70-pound halibut, couldn't it?
I don't know about that. That's pretty big.
Oh, I have no experience catching a fish like that before, but could you imagine what kind of a strain that would be on a reel?
Or the line. I don't know if the line would hold it.
We're going to have to go with a really, really heavy line, like maybe 200-pound test. I don't know.
Probably.
What's the biggest fish you've ever caught before?
8-pounder.
Well, was that a bit of a struggle to bring in?
It was fun.
So he put up a fight, did he?
He absolutely did.
Yeah, but you can imagine if you use that same rig and get up with a 70-pound flounder, or halibut, I should have said, it would just rip the tackle to shreds, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Boy, I've never caught a striper before. That sounds fun.
Yeah, Lake Tawakoni's, it's fun when they're schooling like that out there. They almost jump in your boat.
Well, is that fun, too, to have them jump in your boat right into your cooler?
Well, when you've got a bunch of little kids and you're catching it with whatever you're throwing out there, yeah, that's a fun day.
That's probably like one of the greatest memories of their life, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And I didn't know what lure to use, and it didn't matter that day.
They were in the mood to feed, huh?
Yes.
Well, I hope that helps you about the glucosamine chondroitin, another sulfur-based compound. And this is what I should have said earlier. It's called MSM. That's just kind of the abbreviation for methyl sulfonylmethane. Now, that product really is good for the knees. It's sulfur, but it's very good when you've got knee problems.
Okay.
But I can almost guarantee you're going to get better.
Okay. Sounds good.
You bet, buddy.
Looking forward to looking into that more.
Good deal. Well, thank you very much for your phone call.
All right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I started asking what lure he used, but he said it doesn't matter. Have you been to a store like Academy where they sell fishing lures? Do you know that they have lures that easily cost $40? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I have a question about cancer treatment. Is there anything that can be taken while the patient is getting chemo to help them, or maybe there's some natural remedies to help them with this? My daughter was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she starts her chemo next Friday. And we're trying to figure out, because we mostly do things healthy, and now we're trying to figure out how to help her.
Well, the answer is no if you ask the oncologist.
Oh, yeah, I know. They already told us you can't take anything natural. But people keep telling us there's a lot of natural stuff out there.
Oh, my goodness. What are you talking about? Absolutely there is. Okay, let me have a go with this, okay? Well, I'm just going to give you some ideas. I'm not trying to supersede the oncologist's advice to do nothing. You know what a woman told me this week? She said, okay, they told me specifically that I should eat as much sugar as possible, that I should eat all the candy I want, drink all the pop, cake, cookies, donuts, ice cream, it's all good because I got to keep my weight up because I'm going to lose weight on this chemotherapy. I said, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
So that was the advice from the oncologist. So I don't think I can do any worse. Anyway, there is, I'm really serious about that. I mean, that's just, what kind of a recommendation would be, okay, what if I ask you a question? Can we kill cancer while we're feeding it its favorite source of food at the same time? The answer is it's a wash. I mean, doesn't everybody understand that cancer cells are like sugar junkies? And what you want to do is you want to starve them to death. Don't give them anything to eat. So I would say one thing that I want her to consider is that a lot of the antibody production by her own immune system is based on protein. So I think it's really important for her to go out of her way to try to get plenty of good protein. And that could be everything from eggs to fish to chicken.
Okay.
Do you live close to her at all?
Yeah, I live just down the street. We're in Lyndale, so I'm about 2 miles from her.
Well, you could just cook a salmon fillet and put it on the drone and program it to drop it off on her plate, right?
Yeah, I wish.
There's a diabetic. What now?
She's also diabetic.
Okay. Well, you heard me read the article that when you gave chocolate or cacao to diabetics, all of a sudden everything functioned better.
Yeah, I heard that.
And you know which part of the article that I ignored that I didn't cover? The part about in diabetics, there's certain compounds called insulin growth factor 1 that stimulate tumor development. Well, they're showing that cacao lowers that. That means it's anti-tumor. That's what she wants. But I would say just very simply with the time that I have, I would look into in great detail, and I'm not going to go in any particular order, but let me talk about elements that are found in nature. Iodine, to me, is a huge one when it comes to breast cancer. Or maybe a different way of saying it is, iodine is so critically essential to maintaining the health and the integrity of the immune system in the breast.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, if I mention this, you can type in, are there any studies that show that iodine is effective for helping breast cancer patients? See what you come up with. I mean, literally, it's so easy today. If you have a laptop, anybody can do it. The next one that I would have her look at, there's an herb called Spanish black radish.
Okay.
That's really good at scrubbing and cleaning toxins and debris from the breast tissue. The other one that I probably like very, very much is called turkey tail.
Okay.
And that's a mushroom extract. You could probably go walking in the woods today and see it growing on the side of an oak tree stump. I mean, it wouldn't be unheard of to see it, but it's called turkey tail. And so she needs to eat good, high-quality protein. That could be salmon. Personally, I like the idea of her eating what's called grass-fed beef, if she can get her hands on some of it.
I raise it.
I need to know your exact GPS coordinates, ma'am.
I raise it, and it's in my freezers in Quitman, Texas.
How long would it take me to get there from Jacksonville? Probably 10 minutes? Okay, so things like that, but she needs to do her very, very dead-level best to avoid sugar and starches like the plague. I would have her just focus on meat, vegetables, and the fruits that I think are going to give her the biggest bang for the buck are called raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, cherries, strawberries. All those have anti-cancer properties to them.
You know that, okay. I'm writing these down.
Yes, and I know I'm going all over the place, forgive me, but it's inflammation that drives cancer, so we're trying to get rid of her inflammation. Now, is she a type 1 diabetic or type 2?
She's a type 2.
Okay, do you mind telling me how old your daughter is?
She's 44.
I would try to convince her, as if her life depended on it, to walk twice a day, 45 minutes in the morning and 45. We've got to get more oxygen, more blood flow. I hate to say this because I know there's probably one or two on call just listening right now, and they're going to critique me, but I'm going to make a statement that cancer cells hate oxygen. How does that affect me if we get more oxygen in there? Who cares if the cancer cells hate it? They need to go ahead and just die and leave.
Right.
So the more that she exercises, the better. But this kind of gives you a start. And also there are studies that show that vitamin D plays a very intimate yet precise role in breast cancer. So that's very easy to look up.
Okay. I have a vitamin D supplement that I take.
Very smart. So those are a few ideas. And unfortunately, we're completely out of time. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I appreciate it. I've written it down. It gives us a good starting point.
Well, thank you for your phone call, and I'm really rooting for you and your daughter.
Thank you.
You're a great, great mom. All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.